This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagir.
Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, Henrik. Thanks so much for having me today. My name is Christy Doshi. I'm a Vice President of Product Management and Adoption in Technology for one of the nation's leading independent broker-dealer and custodians. Our teams are responsible for technology innovation and adoption. And just to give you a little bit about the context of the current firm that I work with, our platforms enable managing and servicing more than $600 billion of assets for millions of investors and the financial advisors that do that for them to help them achieve their financial goals and dreams.
Christy, how are you involved with user adoption?
You know, that's an excellent question because I was thinking about it. And I have been dealing with user adoption in some way, shape, or form for, goodness, the past 20 years. I started my career in procurement, so the supply chain environment, and then shifted to e-commerce and customer lifecycle management, and now software platforms and features for the financial advisors and institutions, like I mentioned before. And every day in all of those roles, I was dealing with user adoption. And it manifests itself in different ways. Today, our technology teams are delivering new and enhanced capabilities multiple times per month, and it requires extensive collaboration and coordination across several teams in the firm. So it's definitely not all about technology, but also about preparation and change management regarding user planning, training, material, support, help desk preparedness, training the trainer, and then, of course, the buy-in and consensus when people find issues or confusing things that you might be trying to bring to market if you've lost sight of your goal or who your actual customers, users, or the segments within that user base is.
Christy, what are the biggest challenges and successes with user adoption?
I'm going to start with the successes. So the biggest successes to me are when you're able to bring something to a customer or to a user that they never even knew that they needed. That's when you find yourself the most satisfied and have the most success, and in a lot of ways can monetize those things that may turn into unintended businesses because you stumble upon something that somebody didn't even realize they needed until you put it in their hands. The biggest challenge, quite honestly, is not getting too fancy. And that's a very, very simple way of saying, especially technology and especially in financial software, it's a complex ecosystem. And in the financial industry, we're also regulated. So it's really easy to overcomplicate something. So the more that we focus on keeping it simple, the better off we are, of course, while meeting the requirements for books and records and the types of things that a financial firm has to be able to keep track of and trace from a regulatory perspective. So it's interesting to me, one of the biggest successes was actually earlier in my career, so I'll date myself back to the mid to late 90s, when the firm that I was working for at the time was trying to move the market from a hardware perspective. And we were actually influencing that shift from CRT monitors to flat screens, to the LCDs way back when. And some of the things that we had to do, of course, from a technology perspective, leveraging the principles of the diffusion of innovation for technology was, okay, are we talking revolutionary or evolutionary? What's our price point? How do we compare? Can we test it? All of those things came into play, and we were pulling different levers and pushing different buttons to try and get users to make that shift away from, you know, these large tube displays that took up an awful lot of space on someone's desk, and shift over to something with a much smaller footprint that had a much higher performance. And kind of testing those limits for revolutionary versus evolutionary. What is a user really willing to pay for? What are they willing to trade off and not trade off to kind of make those shifts occur? And that was a really, really fun time in my career. And we learned so much, and some of those principles I'm still applying with the teams that I work with today.
Christy, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
So I'm going to talk a little bit from a technology perspective, especially related to delivering software features and capabilities. First and foremost, design testability in if you can, design analytics in where you can, so that you can really understand your user flows through the system or through a software experience and a user experience to figure out where they may be getting stuck and where you've done a really, really good job. The other thing is never forget who your customers are and who your users are. And my team has a little checklist that we try to employ, which is like, okay, when we're looking at bringing something new to market, there's a few different flavors. There's something, an existing feature, and you're just putting in a new way for your user to interact with that feature or transact, and that becomes more of like a light switch transition. Those are the ones that you need to have the most heads up on, or something in front of a user's face. And then there's the ones where this is a net new feature overall, and either it's available to everybody. How do you get that buy-in and that adoption, and what are the cross-functional teams you need to be able to engage with to help make that a success? And then there's a net new feature that's optional. Those are the ones that are where we usually find the most insights into what is an appetite for something new when you turn it on and you say, okay, this is available, but you have to tell us that you want it. This is a need. This is who we're trying to get it to. This is why we think you would like it. Here's the value proposition for you as a user. You just need to let us know that you need it and make it a very quick and simple pattern that they can opt in for to get some sort of new feature capability or experience and then learn from there. It's almost like in system demand generation when we do it very well. And then there's the big platform switches where you're on a platform today, you need to switch to a new one. And those are usually the ones that require, you know, multi-months, if not multi-year plans and transitions that are usually firm-wide objectives and are kind of their own animal with its own science behind it.
Christy, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
So unfortunately, my work on the subject is mostly tribal knowledge and my own references and documents. Where I try to keep up to speed is on LinkedIn. There's a lot of information, and I'll call it the school of Google, which is a double-edged sword. I find myself referring back to the diffusion of innovation theory that I mentioned briefly, because I find myself going back to some of those insights and basics and extensions of that theory and the study of that. Very beneficial in keeping myself up to speed and trying to bring people that I work with or collaborate with in my current role and that I have worked with in my previous roles to collaborate that. One of my teachers that I learned the most from is now a business owner and consultant in Hong Kong. And I was there recently and met up with him for coffee because it had been many years since we'd had the chance to sit down face to face. And we were actually sitting down and talking about some of the most recent observations and things that we've learned. Him still more from a supply chain perspective and his expertise, and me and my work sitting here from a technology and software development lens and a product management lens for user experiences delivered via software. And that's where I find myself going back to even all these years later, and extending upon that, building upon that, and leveraging some of the emerging study on the theory that started back, you know, with a study in the farming industry, believe it or not. So that's where I tend to tap into the most.
Well, thanks, Christy.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.